Welcome to the Route 42 podcast. I'm Pastor Chris Cahill, and I'm pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church. We're located on U.S. Route 42 north of Lodi, Ohio. The Route 42 podcast is the place to hear recordings of recent sermons at Christ the King and sometimes special conversations with our members and friends. When Jesus rose from the dead early on Easter Sunday, only Mary Magdalene saw him at the garden tomb. It wasn't until the afternoon of that day that he showed himself alive to two grieving disciples, and it wasn't until the evening of that day that he showed himself alive to the rest of the disciples. Well, except for Thomas. It wasn't until the next Sunday evening, when Jesus showed up to them again, that Thomas finally saw him with his own eyes and believed the witness of the rest. Let's listen. And we have two readings from God's Word this morning. The first will be from St. John's Gospel in chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, where John writes, "On the evening of that first day of the week, that is, that first Easter, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.' Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, or the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." This is the gospel for us this morning. We continue also with this reading from another book by St. John in the Bible, and this is his first letter. In fact, we're going to have several sections of his first letter over the next several weeks during this Easter season. We begin this letter with verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is God's word for us this morning. Grace and mercy and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit, as always. Amen. There's a story that's been around for quite some time. I don't know how it got started or where, but I remembered it as a kid. So it's a story that supposedly takes place in the Netherlands, which is a country that is mostly at sea level or below, kind of like Louisiana. Okay, now in Louisiana, in order to prevent flooding from the Missouri or Mississippi River, they have levees all over the place. And this time of year, it's especially important. You know, you've heard stories and seen stories about places that got flooded and water rushing through towns. You don't want that to happen when people live there. So they build dams or levees, or in Netherlands, they call them dikes. And the story is that some years back, there was a kid who was walking along the seaway. See, some of you are nodding already. A kid was walking along, and he saw water leaking out of one of these levees. And he thought, somebody's better fix that, because if the dam blows, then the whole place is going to be flooded. But it was just a small hole, so he stuck his little finger in there without thinking. Next thing you know, he was really stuck because it was a remote place, and nobody came by for like 2 days. And then they found him still standing there with his finger in it. Now, in a way, he's been seen as a hero because he's kept the dike from breaking. He kept the water from coming out. He kept the whole place from flooding. But I don't know that he started by saying, I'm going to do something heroic. I think he started by saying, I'm afraid this is going to break, and so I'm going to put my finger here because I'm afraid. And I think that's Thomas in the gospel. We talk about doubting Thomas, okay? That's a phrase that's often used because Jesus said, why are you doubting? But to be fair to Thomas, Jesus didn't actually show himself to any of his disciples on Easter Sunday until sometime in the afternoon when he was not even in Jerusalem. But the disciples were gathered on Sunday evening in Jerusalem, and that's when he showed himself to them. And they were surprised. So they spent the whole day in grief and wonder, and they couldn't figure it out. In fact, when Mary Magdalene came back from the tomb and she had seen Jesus there in the early morning, she came back and told them, and they didn't believe her. So the whole bunch of them were doing what Thomas did. Only Thomas gets the brunt of it, doubting Thomas. But he showed up, Jesus did, that Easter evening to those disciples, except for Thomas, and they spent the whole week trying to convince Thomas that they had seen Jesus. And I don't know if he actually did this, but I have this notion that Thomas eventually went through the week going, la, 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 I don't want to hear any more about Jesus risen from the dead until I see him and put my, you know, that, because that's what you do, right? Or maybe you don't, but that's the classic thing. You put your finger in your ear so that you don't have to hear what you don't want to hear. And why don't you want to hear it? I don't know. I think Thomas was afraid to hear it. What's going to happen if these guys are true? I don't know. La, 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 la. That's what he was doing. Until that Sunday, Jesus shows up, Thomas is there, and what's the first thing that Jesus says to him? Take your finger out of your ear and put it here. That's where it belongs, in my hand. And Thomas, when he did that, then he said, you are my Lord and my God. And then he was able to receive that superabundant grace of Jesus, that grace that Jesus died for, to give him that forgiveness of sins on the cross, to wash all his sins away. That's when Thomas was able to hear Jesus with those words of restoration to bring him back into the love of Jesus that he had been so deaf to hear for so long. That's what Jesus did for him. See, I think Thomas gives us a good model of how our fears can actually block the outflow of God's love and forgiveness on us. Thomas, as long as he was saying, I refuse to do this, I refuse to believe until I can actually touch him and put my finger. Thomas was blocking the flow of Jesus' love and forgiveness to him that the other disciples had already seen for a whole week because he was too afraid to get his fingers out of his ears. Thomas could not hear the joy that they had. Thomas couldn't hear the love that Jesus had for them. Thomas couldn't hear that Jesus was wrapping them all in his arm. When he showed up to those disciples on Easter Sunday, he said, peace be with you. And I have always had this idea that when Jesus said, peace be with you, he was not just saying, peace out, dudes. He was saying, I am creating peace in you. Just like when he said at creation, let there be light, and there was light. He said to those disciples, peace be with you, and there was peace. Except Thomas didn't have that peace because he was still living in fear because he hadn't heard it. And as long as he lived in fear, he wasn't going to hear the peace. He wasn't going to hear the forgiveness. He wasn't going to hear the restoration as long as he lived in fear. And what it took for Thomas was this event the following Easter when he saw Jesus and he was able to say, you are my Lord and my God. Now that is a sort of a confession. See, we use the word confession to mean a couple of different things, don't we? One of them is to say, you are my Lord and God. This is what I believe about Jesus. And the other is to say, here's where I've done something wrong. You know, in our act when we use the word scars, sin, confession, here's where I've done something wrong. And I got this notion this week, and I think John put me on to that in his letter, that you or I can actually block the forgiveness of sins from getting to us. And the way we do it is because of our fear that something bad is going to happen or to whatever. And confession is the blockage point. We talked about this sin, confession, absolution, restoration. And we didn't actually say this, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we don't, none of that's going to happen. None of that is going to happen because that's the blockage point. It's where the finger is in the dike, preventing the flood of God's grace from getting to us. Now, sometimes people get that. Sometimes people get that. In fact, you know, our friends who meet here on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, the Alcoholics Anonymous, that's part of a 12-step recovery program. That's one of the first steps, is the step that says, I admit that there's something wrong that I can't fix and I need God's help to do that for me. That's a confession. Thomas was like, I'm not even going there until I can put my hands in his side. And sometimes that's the way people are. Unless they're able to say, this Jesus is the one who can take care of things, who can fix, who can heal, who can pour out his abundant grace, who can restore me to the love of God. They're never going to hear it. They're always going to be stuck. They're always going to have their fingers in their ears so they can't hear the loving forgiveness and promise of Jesus. Now, I don't know that that's entirely true of any of us. I suspect it's at least partially true of most of us. I know it's true of me. I know there are some times for me when I'm afraid of what might happen if I actually get in that abundant flow of Jesus' forgiveness. I'm afraid that it might mean there are some things I might have to do differently, some things I might have to change. There are some things about my life, and maybe there's some things about yours, that I'm pretty happy with and pretty satisfied with. But
if I really jump into that flow and take my fingers out of my ears and open myself up to that superabundant grace and forgiveness of Jesus, I don't know what's going to happen. I honestly don't. So maybe sometimes I just need to do it. Because then I'll get that forgiveness, and then I'll understand that restoration, and then I'll be able to live that life of sanctification a little bit better. I know that's true of me. I don't know how true it is of you, but if it is, even a little bit, then maybe what we should do, both you and I, is just put our hands in the hands of Jesus, put our fingers into his wounds, and say, Jesus, just carry me with your love, and let that love flow, and let that forgiveness flow. John writes, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise we should grasp. And the peace of God that passes all our understanding will keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
This episode of the Route 42 podcast was recorded live during a Sunday worship service at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Lodi, Ohio, on April 7, 2024. You can find out more about us and sign up for our email list at our website, www.christthekinglodi.org. Check out the show notes for details. God bless you, and thank you for listening.